Welcome, this is the Sales IQ Podcast. My name is Luigi Prestoninzi, and I'm on a mission to help salespeople be the best sales professionals they can be. Each week, we'll bring you a different message from thought leaders from around the globe, so we can help you master the art of selling.
Another week down, another Sales IQ Podcast for you to listen to. And this week's a pretty cool episode because we're talking to a French Canadian by the name of Denis Champagne. And I've had the pleasure of working with Denis for some time. And Denis is a bit of a veteran when it comes to consulting and coaching, and spends a lot of time on voice. And this is a really cool episode because there are so many things in the sales process that we simply can't control, right? We can't control the decisions the buyers make. We can't control many elements of the sales process, but there are many things that we can control. And I think sometimes we get stuck in the circle where we just can't control things. And, you know, when you think about selling, there are so many elements that make up a really good interaction between two people when it comes to the sales process. And the relationship is absolutely fundamental. And regardless of what anybody says that, you know, it's changing. Selling, there needs to be a level of trust between the buyer and the seller. And we see a lot of data that shows that trust between buyer and seller is getting wider and wider. And that's why this is a really cool episode, because we'll talk about the power of voice, tone, pitch, speed, and the impact that can have on building relationships with your prospects. So get in, really, really listen to this episode because I really enjoyed it. I've spent a lot of my career trying to craft that, you know, slowing down, because I'm a fast pace. I'm a fast talker. I am pretty intense. When I get in the sales process, I get excited. We are dealing with people often that aren't like us. And go back to the platinum rule from the great Dr. Tony Alessandra, which is treat others the way they want to be treated, because it's not about us. Our role is to facilitate the process and help people arrive at a better state and help them get to that point of decision.
This episode is brought to you by Vidyard, the online video tool for sales professionals. Vidyard makes it easy for sales teams to turn text-based emails into personal video messages and will help you engage with your prospects and create an incredible buying experience for them, which will ultimately help you reach your pipeline and revenue goals. So do yourself a favor, get to vidyard.com, sign up, and start using video in your sales process.
So buckle up, enjoy. I'm going to listen to this again and again because there's a lot of learnings from this episode. The other thing I want to share with everyone is we've got a couple of new podcasts starting with some industry professionals who are incredible thought leaders and run revenue operations for their companies in the tech space. This is awesome. One's called the Revenue Engine Podcast and the other one is called the Revenue Architect Podcast. These are launching in the next week. So watch out for the podcast. We'll actually start promoting it. We'll put in the show notes where you can access these podcasts. We'll probably put it in next week. So these are incredible. We've got some incredible guests. They really dive into some incredible topics and, you know, it'll help you be the very best sales professionals you can be. So enjoy this week's podcast with Denis. Welcome to the show, Denis.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, pretty excited, mate, to have you on the Sales IQ podcast. And before we get into all things tone, speed, pitch, all the fun things that us as sales professionals need to execute when, you know, building rapport and relationships with prospects, we'd love to learn a little bit more about you, mate, where you come from and how you got in the world of sales.
Well, 35 years ago, I got called into a call center in high school. And within a very short period of time, I was getting more appointments for furniture salespeople. My mother was an inspiration to me earlier on. She was multitasking in the kitchen while booking appointments for Tupperware parties. So that gave me kind of an inspiration in her heart and her kindness and her joy to help others and get to meet and greet people together was her greatest quality. When she passed away, the church was full. So that tells you a little bit about her legacy. And I was inspired by her kindness. She was just an amazing lady. The door was a revolving, come in for a coffee anytime kind of thing at home. So we always had people coming in, our neighbors. So that kind of community feel and caring for people and having and just being happy being around people is something that she's inspired me to do. So that's a little bit my background. I was a squash and pro athlete, an elite cyclist, but really in sales, I ran my own call center from 90 to 2000. And since then, I've been selling and prospecting the C-suite in the last 15 years.
Oh, man, fantastic. So it's good to see that your family was a big part of your why and how you started, you know, working with people and helping people. And I know that you've got such a focused mindset because obviously outside of this podcast, mate, we've got a good relationship. So
indeed.
So, mate, Denis, would love to know, I mean, obviously, you know, sales, as you know, my opinion around selling is about helping people achieve better outcomes. You spend a lot of time focusing on voice and tone and pitch and speed when it comes to selling, the softer skill component versus the tactical part of things. You know, where did you find the time or where did the inspiration come from to learn about that?
Well, it really was an internal thing. It was because I was sad and mad 20-odd years ago. I lost everything. And I had a number of events in my life that brought me to that kind of, I guess, more sadness than madness. But, you know, it's a fine line between sad to mad. And I realized I wasn't generating in my other company, I wasn't generating the kind of appointments just because I sounded too intense.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to that. The idea that you must sound enjoyable, you must sound harmonious. And harmonious is not just with others, it's with yourself first. Mm. You can't project harmony if you're not harmonious.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So I had to really look hard at myself and take a look internally, introspectively, and observe my own heart and my lot in life and say, what do I need to do to change to get results? Because I wasn't generating results. And I was working hard. But, you know, after a while, bing, 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 your head on the cement, it starts to hurt. And you got to say, okay, wait. You know, change the course. Take another street if you're falling in the same hole. And so it took time. And as you know, I took on kind of a more spiritual path for myself to try to understand who I really was and the causes behind that and obviously the effects that were generated. And I started making more consciousness of how I speak and how I express myself to be kinder, not only to myself, but, you know, obviously to my parents, to my fellow friends. And because you can't be one kind of person and be another kind of salesperson. You are who you are. You carry it with you. So that kind of component brought me to become aware. And obviously the phone was very big in those days. We had no video or no WhatsApp or it was all phone, right? So luckily I've practiced and improved my ability to engage, connect with myself and then with others. And then all of a sudden it started turning around. I started getting people to say, yeah, come on in. Let's have a chat. It wasn't as sophisticated as having the whole process of establishing the pains and their pain. They were interested in, you know, a solution. We're talking 25, 30 years ago. It's improved since then. Yeah. I've improved since then, but then that was. So that's a little bit of my journey in transformation.
So when did you realize the tonality component and the intonation was preventing you from progressing opportunities and building relationships with people?
When I got really, because prior in the 80s, I was managing a call center and I was listening to Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar made me aware of the power of the voice. He was the first person to wake me up to that. But then I went into other, you know, realms and other activities in my life, came back to professional squash and then it came back. And then I realized, I had to make a change. And, it was a couple of times when I had clients not respond to me and ghost me. And I realized it was me, my intensity, my aggressiveness. It wasn't about helping the other. It was about getting a sale. And so when I decided, no, that's not the right way. It's a two-way street. Obviously, salespeople generate a revenue based on their service, based on their caring, based on finding the positive outcome for the client, as we all say, right? It's Sales IQ, the wonderful Sales IQ group.
Yeah, no, you know, it's funny, Denis, because I think, you know, you can have an element of intensity and, you know, I think aggressiveness is probably pushes that boundaries, right? But when you've got the right level of intent and you've got the right mindset, you know, I want to help someone achieve something better, it's okay to have that level of intensity, but being able to manage the way in which the message is put across and received from the other person is actually a skill. And one of the things that I find really interesting is that in 2021, a lot of the modern day sales training practices and when companies induct sellers forget a little bit around that, the importance of those soft skills, right? Slowing down, speeding up, DISC, you know, all the things that are so, so important. There's got to be a relationship between two parties and there's got to be an element of trust.
Sure.
You've got to reduce that relationship tension to get to that zone of influence. And the only way you can do that is when there's a little element of trust. So talk to us about some of the strategies that you've employed over the years, because you spend a lot of time coaching sales professionals on the power of voice and you spoke about Zig. Talk to us about some of those strategies that you employ to help build trust through voice.
Well, first is trusting themselves. So the first stages of coaching someone is developing their own esteem. I just finished actually 2 days ago with someone in South America, one of the four reps that we're going to probably work together with. Yeah. And one of them is really in terms of his self-esteem. And so build his self-esteem, help him to build himself and appreciate himself for who he really is. Far too many people come into the profession of sales or the job of selling and don't really know who they are. So they're confronted with tactics and obstacles, but they don't know how to compose with it because they have never really taken the time to think, when these things happen, what is the strategy? What is the way towards helping someone else? So there are many ways of helping people. It's about the individual, the rep needs to be given encouragement. And it is so little. I mean, if you look at your family life, my family life, typical family life, I didn't get a lot of encouragement from my parents. It's not that they didn't love me. It wasn't part of the culture of, I believe in you and you can do it. You know, I mean, there's overdoing it too. Like, you know, today parents think that their kids can do everything when actually they can't. So you have to be honest with them. But in our case, it was undervalued. So we weren't given a lot of support and care. And Andrew Carnegie from the U.S. Steel Corporation in the 30s, who was a billionaire in the 30s, said, I applied my only single management principle called encouragement. Just saying to someone, I know you can do this. I believe in you 100%. There's no doubt you can get this done. There's no doubt about it. How and when and how fast, we can work on that. People, you can see in their face when if we do a Zoom call and training people, you can see their face change. So it starts with encouragement and helping them to appreciate themselves.
Okay. So the first things first is having that self-belief in what you're doing and building that inner
fortitude,
inner belief inside oneself. And then once you build that belief, what's the next tactic or what's the next strategy that we need to employ to start?
Well, what I asked them to do is, and I'm so happy to report that it has worked for three out of the four reps in South America. They all achieved three or four major opportunities that are on the table now. Even the vice president was kind of aghast at the fact that it actually worked. It took me 8 weeks to work with them, but what I do is I ask them to write down in finer detail, tooth and comb, if you want, all the implicit problems and impacts and problems that their clients have, real problems, real serious problems. Document them in your own way so that it flows from your mouth, from your thinking, in a natural, naturally eloquent, coming from you as a human being, so that people sense that you're not directed by scripts, but by your natural conversational eloquence of engaging and caringly approach the person to have a conversation about their problems. So I want them to really document the problem so that we start from there as a premise.
Is that strategy allowing the sales professional to have a level of empathy when they're talking to their prospects about their problems?
Well, if they do enough research, if they do enough research, Luigi, and they take the time to research correctly, over time, they'll start getting motivated because they start understanding the intricate. Someone who took care of my father, a nutritionist, when he was unable to eat, taught me something. He said, you know, Mr. Champagne, expertise is expressed in the finer details. That's when you see an expert. Yeah. So the subtleties, right? When I went for my tooth, you know, my surgery, the doctor, the periodontist, talked to me about small and finer details. A professional representative of a sales organization needs to talk as though the prospect, when he or she hears you, says, wow, this person understands my problems.
Okay. This is really good, right? So the first step is to believe in oneself. Create that self-belief internally. The second step is really to clearly understanding on the problems that you help prospects solve and then try to identify that. And then how is it that we should be conveying the message? I mean, you talk about a lot about tone, because you would have a lot of people that listening to this would probably either are doing it just subconsciously, they're doing it every single day, they're mirroring tone. But then how do we develop the skills to practice and improve the way in which we deliver messages?
Many years ago, I took singing lessons just to understand musicality, because voice is music. Voice is a vibe.
I don't know if I can sing. I don't know if I can practice singing. And I don't know if my listeners are going to be practicing singing either. But no, tell us more, Denis.
But it will make you better than you were before.
Yeah.
And that's the idea, right? It's to improve. It's to get better at your craft. Become a master of learning. If there's anything we learn in sales, is how to learn to learn and to continue to grow and enjoy. So the voice says, the voice expresses the full person. You can hide your face, but you can't hide your voice.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really interesting, right? So if we're taking the time to really master the art of voice, right? Because I believe that I've spent a lot of my career trying to get better at this, because I too suffered from the sales intensity because of my eagerness and my drive. And DISC has played a really important part of my development, understanding what my own style and understanding other people's styles and adapting my style. Often I hear a lot of people's fear in trying to adapt style is they're concerned about coming across a bit disingenuous or a bit fake. How do you work through that so that you can adapt your style and still be oneself and be authentic?
Well, it comes from, and you're so good at this, you talk a lot about mindset and intent, and you're coming into the profession or the business of selling. And when I give a lecture at the MBA program here in university in McGill, I always write down on the screen, you want to make a sale or build a career?
Yeah.
Because how you approach the sale, the transaction, or the career, the long vision, then you will not be so, you know, caught up or drowned in a glass of water on the transaction, but more so on the relationship. What's important to you becomes a person in front of you. And that connection. And then you establish a calm conversation. Of course, you got to practice. If you're a hyper person, you have to practice. Well, I teach them, well, sit back. I had reps put their feet up on the chair in front to really relax, because you think you change your physical posture, you'll change the vocal posture, the mental posture, the psychological composure. It's all synonymous with being a bit more calm.
That's really interesting. So the body language component, right? Because I think for many of us now, especially since the world's changed in the last 12 months significantly, and everybody's moved to that virtual selling component. I think a lot of people resonate with the fact they're probably dressed well up top and in their shorts and pajama bottoms, right? But how important is it when talking to people that you're having that positive body language?
Well, the voice actually expresses a lot of the body language. That's precisely my point. You cannot hide the voice. The voice says, actually, there was scientific research. I'll give you an example. A British magazine called Nature many years ago did a study on the relative credibility of various media.
Yep.
They used TV, print, and radio. And they subjected the listeners, the readers, and the viewers to a false presentation, a falsity with someone, and then a true one, right? And they went through the whole process. 9 times out of 10, the television was the one they caught the bull or the BS right away.
Okay.
Rewind. The TV fooled everybody.
Yep.
The radio, 75% of the respondents or the listeners could pick up the false.
Really?
And print was a little bit in between. 75%.
It
was a radio experiment. It was a neuroscience study, and they used various three media. This was in Nature.
Yeah, but why was the radio the one where people picked up that it was fake?
The voice.
Okay, so people could actually hear.
The last thing you need to do is to underestimate the intelligence of people when you speak, especially on the C-suite, and that's all I've done.
Yeah.
So you got to be credible.
That's really interesting.
People can pick up. I mean, I was very successful over time because I practice all the time to be authentic, to be myself. And there's a 10-second throw-off, an 11-second throw-off at the beginning of my call. And I get them or I don't, because that's what they're listening. Tony, in his book, Coney Hughes in Combo, talks about, people are carefully listening to who they can trust within those seconds.
Yeah. So this is really interesting. Okay, so let's take this into a call process. So if we're making that outreach attempt, it's our first outreach attempt to a net new prospect. You talk about that first 11 seconds. How should that voice be projected?
The lowest, calmest possible you can be. Okay. You know when the police calls you at home, how are they going to ask?
I've only ever had them knock on my door.
Okay, or the doctor calls you, or the doctor's office calls you. Some authoritarian, officiality kind of call where they say, Mr. Pretinenzi?
Yes.
Luigi Pretinenzi?
Correct.
Oh, hi, Mr. Pretinenzi. It's Denis from Sales IQ Global. How have you been, sir?
Not bad, thanks. What's the call about?
And then go right into it, right? Now, you're playing a little bit your very officiality. But when I do that and I do it calmly and then they say, I'm fine, what's it all about? Well, obviously it's raining outside today, so, I can't talk about the rain. And I go right to the source of the problems for which I called. Like I noticed at your company, I did some research on your press release you just came out, like I find trigger events. There's other substantive kind of information that's behind my call. But the calming part at the beginning does not create any reticence or resistance or reluctance to want to hear the rest. They have to sound and say, yeah, this person's calm.
Okay. So what happens if they're a fast-paced social style, like they're a driver, they're punchy?
Fine, I'll do the same thing. I won't change because of them, because that's who I am. What I will change is I will get to when they say, what's it about? I know you're busy. I can tell that. Thank you for at least responding. And I get to it. I get to it real quick. There are various character style grids and personality types and disc, you know, models and stuff. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. So you kind of just quickly adapt.
Yeah, and you are who you are. You're not going to change because this person imposes something. You stay authentic to yourself. That is what I call being authentic. Is remain who you are. Like, don't adjust and frivolously because someone stimulates you like that. The strength is inside of you, not on the outside.
This is really good. So just to kind of go back a step so we can make sure we're summarizing some of the learnings from today's episode, we've got the first step is to really believe in oneself. The second step is to really understand the outcomes that you help organizations achieve or help people achieve and the problems you help them solve. The third step is to really practice and get that, you know, the vocal tone, become engaged in the way that you speak by practicing so that you can alternate your tone. And the fourth step so far from what I've heard you say, because you've only got a short period of time to build that trust on an initial call, is to deliver a calmness in the way in which you're speaking to people and then adapt it as soon as you can so that you can connect with them and give them what they need to move forward.
Exactly. And acquiesce and acknowledge that they are busy. But you say, you know, I really appreciate, you know, the 2 seconds. I know you're busy. I'll get to it. Get to it. And if it's strategic, it's numbers. If it's high-level problems that they are accountable to, of course, if you've done your research, you're talking to the person who's most likely to want to hear what you're talking about. Then obviously there's a relevance together. There's hyperscaling of the personalization, the relevance, all of those qualities and attributes and, you know, adjectives we use to in the world of selling now these days. There's all kinds of ways of saying it, but it's to connect. It's just to make them realize you're not trying to pitch. You're just trying to have a calm conversation about something that's important to him or her.
Yeah. I think, and you know what, you've actually identified, again, it's not about pitching anything, right? Because at that point of the conversation, especially if it's an initial outreach call, you're not at a point of advocating anything. Your primary objective is to just get some form of dialogue going. And so you're using voice as, I suppose, as the tool to enable you to get to that next stage of the conversation. And is that where you find a lot of salespeople fall over, is that they try to pitch their product too early in the conversation thread?
No, obviously. Obviously, they get to it instead of, you know, kind of, it's not easy, but it takes practice and it takes awareness. Yeah. I don't think that people are taking enough time to understand the problems of their prospects. They talk about the word pain, but it's what they call a. It's not. They don't talk about pains with a capital P. They say with a small P. It's a pain. The problems. I've got my solution. I got my product. No, first and foremost, it's what's making them hurt. Focus on what's hurting them and trying to own in on those things. You know, become a chameleon of commercial conversations.
Yeah.
To that point.
And you mentioned earlier that Zig Ziglar played a pretty big role in you focusing a big part of your career on voice. What was that? Was that a book? Was that an audio tape?
I had the whole audio tape pack. It was tapes. It was cassette tapes in those days.
Cassette tapes. That's right. I've got records, man. I've got a record. I think I've got it somewhere of Paul J. Meyer.
Well, you know,
Paul J. Meyer. So, what's it called? The secrets
closing
of
the sale.
The secrets of closing the sale.
Very simple.
Okay, and I'm pretty sure that would be on Audible, right? For anyone out there or on YouTube.
Absolutely. I still have.
I think if you're in selling, you've got to be aware of Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar, big influence on a lot of salespeople.
And voice inflections, because voice inflections allows you to bear down on certain words, right? Like you say something often when you coach, you say, yes, and we're going to do this, yes. That's your way of getting an inflection in the mind of the other person to acknowledge, to say, yes, we're going that direction. It's like a leading a horse, you know, you kick or you whatever. So it's all about finding what works for you, but staying open. And Zig just made everybody realize that you need to stimulate to stimulate is the best word. Excite individuals, you know, of course, with the understanding that they already are excited about wanting to buy this. It's about a buying experience. It's not about a selling experience.
Absolutely.
And you should help them. You become an assistant buyer. That's another thing I learned. So the voice allows you to become that kind, benevolent, calm, confident person when you're talking with people.
Yeah, this has been really, really interesting. And I think for all of all the listeners today, I think the fact is that you're right, that voice, that tone, it's something that you can learn. And for those that might not have been focusing on this or feel like there's an opportunity to develop this skill, I think the opportunity is right there in front of you. And now more than ever, we're moving to virtual, practicing tone and pitch and sound, et cetera, is such a paramount skill that we've got to get back to. So I really appreciate you sharing this with us today, Denis. But, you know, before we wrap up, where can our listeners engage with you and find out a bit more about, you know, some of the teachings and principles that you spoke about today?
Well, Denis Champagne, as you know, is the name is spelled D-E-N-I-S. Champagne, like the bubbly stuff that you like to drink. And especially the Aussies, they talk a lot about, you know, I drink my own champagne. On LinkedIn, I'm there. Lotuscom, LOTUSCOMM as in mother.com.
Yep.
And obviously Sales IQ Global Group, I'm there.
Yep.
So an amazing organization. So those are three places where they can reach out and I'll be more than happy. I have lots of different interviews and podcasts to that effect.
Fantastic. Well, we'll make sure we put the show notes so that people can connect with you. I know that you share a lot of really good content on LinkedIn. But want to say thanks for coming on the Sales IQ podcast and your contribution to the industry. You've been doing this a long time. I think some of the techniques and practices you speak about is going to help sellers elevate themselves further in the eyes of the buyer. So thanks for coming on the Sales IQ podcast.
Okay. Well, thank you, Luigi, for having invited me. And my last words to everybody, stay open to learning, find a coach, just like Roger Federer found a coach.